Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. September 21, 2020. My thoughts on Twitter September 21, 2020. The correction of the creation, the soul of Adam, is in the unity of the creatures, mutual guarantee, in the realization of the commandment love your neighbor and beyond. From the love of the creatures to the love of the Creator, the goal of our development. This is how we come to the goal of creation, in similarity of qualities of the Creator, love, and adhesion with Him. Our transgression is neglecting the desire for connection with others, and not turning to the Creator for help with this. The purpose of creation is only to unite the creatures in a single desire to unite in the Creator. From individual tens to a single ten that includes all of humanity. This is the extent of our connection to the Creator. In this new year, a new state of reality is revealed. After 5,780 years of development, humanity is able to rise to the first spiritual degree. The first tens are opening the door and entering, pulling the whole world with them. Let's be prepared with the weight of responsibility, confidence, and mutual guarantee. This new year differs from all the previous ones in that the Creator begins to clearly treat the world as a whole. And we need to treat Him the same way, turning to the Creator as the whole world, pulling the whole world to this goal set for us, by the Creator. The coronavirus outbreak is getting out of control, said UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres. The COVID-19 pandemic is a crisis unlike any other. This is true, we have entered a period of correction of humanity through good or evil. The method of correction is Kabbalah. Better not to delay. But what must I build? From what to distance and to what to draw closer? That is why the new year is preceded by the period of Selikot, repentances, in which I scrutinize my egoistic qualities. I want to go from reception to bestowal, from an animal mind to faith above reason, the Creator's mind. From Twitter, September 21, 2020. Celebrating the New Year enclosure from my Facebook page Michael Leitman September 21, 2020. The new Hebrew year began with closure. But that was only the official declaration. In practice, every faction pulls its own way and tries to ease the restrictions on it and make them more convenient. In this tug of war, the public's health is of no interest to anyone and everyone is losing. The people of Israel that's living in the state of Israel are not a nation. It is a collective of many sects and factions. I don't see a collective and I don't see an Israeli nation. For this reason, we will not emerge stronger or healthier from this closure, since getting better or stronger is not on anyone's mind. The more we sink into this pandemic, the more divided, hateful, and alienated from each other we become. As long as we continue our separation, there is zero chance of curing from the virus. This hatred between us is the exact opposite of what we should be doing, and this is why the virus is winning. We are already the country with the second highest number of cases per million people in the world, and we are quickly racing to the top. Instead of a role model for the world, a light unto nations, we have become the world's laughing stock. If we don't take the time while we are in closure, assuming we obey it, to think about the future of our nation and what it means to be the people of Israel, we will bring on ourselves a third, and more painful closure. Being Israel means being united. It means making unity the top value, above all our differences. We pride ourselves in our legacy of debates and arguments and often give the House of Hillel and the House of Shammai as examples of two conflicting views within the nation. But we omit what is not convenient. They help the nation scrutinize essential issues precisely because they were a part of the same nation. Today's so-called debates are nothing of the kind. We wish to eliminate our dissenters, not learn together what is best for the nation. We're not using disagreements in order to grow. In fact, we don't even want to grow, but to obliterate our opponents and be left alone in the rink. By this we are bringing on ourselves our doom. There will be no vaccine to COVID-19, since the real pathogen is our sick egos. When we change our relation to each other, we will be freed from the virus. Our ill will creates it, and it will create ever worse pathogens until we switch our ill will into goodwill. Currently, we aren't doing this. We are defying the closure to go out and protest, clash with the police, and shout in defiance without masks and without distance. Why are we not defying the closure in order to get closer to each other? As long as our motivation is to destroy, we will continue to destroy ourselves. If we maintain it long enough, we will succeed. Can decision-making techniques be taught? Question: do you have a certain methodology for making decisions? Could you teach it to someone, or is it very difficult? Answer: I gradually teach this to all my students, and those who can apply it do and those who cannot don't. Remark: I understand that this is a long educational process, not some specific advice. My comment: this is not just an educational process, but the process of creating a person in a person. By raising a person in himself, he will make the right decisions based on his inner image, from what he creates in himself. Question: there are no specific actions here like do this or think about that? Answer: no, if a person has not reached a certain spiritual level, he cannot make decisions corresponding to this level. From CapTV's Management Skills, June 11, 2020. What is our fault? When a person asks the Creator for forgiveness, he has to feel that he has sinned. Otherwise, it turns out that he just mocks the Creator and the entire system that he created. However, we do not feel that we have committed any sins and do not think we need to be corrected. It is all because there is a law in nature that you repeat a crime for a second time and you already consider it as permitted, not recognizing it as a sin. Therefore, we need to think, is it possible that we do commit crimes in our life? In fact, we are full of crimes, every one of us, at every moment. However, we return to them all the time, and therefore in our egoism, we do not feel we are committing a crime. You repeat a crime a second time and you begin considering it the norm. This is the law of nature. A person is perplexed: what did I do? Who did I harm? The crime is felt just for the first time. After that, I can repeat it 1,000 times and will not feel that I am doing something bad. This is why we do not feel that we are sinners when we ask the Creator for forgiveness. What is our fault? Before Rosh Hashanah, it is customary to cry and ask for forgiveness, but these are artificial tears since we do not recognize our crimes. Therefore, we need to become included in the tens and find out that we are neglecting our friends, our connection, and our appeal to the Creator. We do not feel that we are constantly returning to the same crimes, and therefore we stop considering them sin, a vice. I should feel how much I disregard the Creator in order to ask His forgiveness for not appreciating Him enough, not realizing that only the Creator does everything, arranges everything, controls everything, that there is none else besides Him, and I depend on Him 100%. I was not considering correctly the presence of the Creator in my life, was not recognizing that only He determines my thoughts, desires, perception of reality. Now I ask to forgive me because I did not attach importance to the Creator. It means that all my pleas for forgiveness are only with regard to the singularity of the upper governance, and all my appeals to the Creator are only through the ten. All this we establish inside our connection: how much I disregard my friends, do not consider them as great, and do not value the ten, which is the only tool that can direct me to the Creator. To the extent I disregard my ten, I disregard the Creator. Therefore, first of all, I must work with the ten, and through it, I will come to the Creator. From the Daily Kabbalah Lesson, September 15, 2020, What is Preparation for Sukkot, Forgiveness? wish the creator a good year. First of all, I must press delete on all my claims against my friends because it was not them who acted badly toward me, but the creator. Instead of my friends, I must see the creator who is hiding behind them and teasing me on purpose. The creator is standing behind each friend encouraging him to do something that I condemn. Therefore, I erase all my claims against my friends, and I see only the creator who has pushed them to these actions. And therefore, I apologize to my friends for thinking they were bad. It was not them at all, but the creator who awakened the evil inclination in them and has done everything. But I have no claims against the creator either because there is none else besides him, who is good and does good. I feel bad, it indicates that within myself I turn all his good into evil. I am now in the world of infinity, in the Garden of Eden, paradise, and you too. Why on earth do we feel hell instead of paradise? It is because we perceive this paradise in our corrupted kelim. How can I fix them? The Creator has given me the opportunity to check myself in relation to my friends. If I love them, then I have corrected my attitude toward my neighbor. We ask the Creator to help us achieve good unity between us, in order to please him. We want to wish him a good year. A good year means that we have made a good change, that is, we have prepared a place for the Creator to reveal in order to express our love and unity. And so we wish the Creator, have a good year. Try to wish the Creator a good year through your connection. And then he will be revealed in Rosh Hashanah as the King who has done all this. We are his creations, and he unites us, together and rejoices in us. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson September 17, 2020, what is preparation for Sukkot, forgiveness? How is this new year different from all the prior ones? How can we make this new year different from all the others, that is, make a leap to a spiritual degree? And not just any spiritual degree, but the one that is in line with the last generation. There is a huge difference between that and what the chosen few, the Kabbalists of the past, have achieved. This is a completely different feeling, a different revelation, the true revelation of the Creator to the creatures of this world. This new year differs from all the previous ones in that the Creator is beginning to relate to the world as a single unit. And we also need to relate to him this way, to turn to the Creator as the whole world, and pull the whole world to this goal set for us, by the Creator. In this new year, a new state of reality is revealed. Only now, after many thousands of years of human development, is humanity altogether able to rise to the first spiritual degree. We are already beginning to enter it, the first tens open this door, enter it, and pull the whole world with them. You need to be prepared for this and feel your responsibility, strength, confidence, and mutual guarantee. From the Daily Kabbalah lesson September 15, 2020, what is preparation for Sukkot, forgiveness? My new article on LinkedIn A Nature Made Hiatus. A new year is a great time for reflection. These days, as a new year begins according to the Hebrew calendar, I think we should reflect on what COVID-19 has meant for us, as a society. Where were we going? Right up to the outbreak, the international tensions were rising to such levels that everyone tacitly agreed that a huge war was going to break out. America versus China, Russia versus America, North Korea versus America, Pakistan versus India, both nuclear powers. Regional and global conflicts were threatening to erupt the world over. The virus forced it all to stop. It gave us a hiatus, a chance to reroute. The pandemic, unprecedented fires, insane hurricane season, street and domestic violence, racial and social tensions, and all the other blows that have landed on us, this year indicates that we are facing a systemic shift. But they have saved us from ourselves. The coronavirus showed us, also, how quickly nature recovers if we only leave it alone. For a few weeks, We witnessed a recovery of wildlife that we've never seen before and didn't think was possible. But as soon as the closures were eased, we resumed our gluttony, as if saying nature can wait. The pandemic, unprecedented fires, insane hurricane season, street and domestic violence, racial and social tensions, and all the other blows that have landed on us this year indicate that we are facing a systemic shift. But they have saved us from ourselves. Whatever harms the disasters have caused, they are far less than what we would have, and will cause ourselves with our total alienation and abusive attitude toward nature and toward people. We were on the brink, and nature pulled us back from the edge. I hope it does not let us go there again, and I hope we will finally understand that we have to stop and think about our lives. Nature has stopped our rat race, but we have to ask why. If we do that, then we can build a great life together. If we don't, then either nature will continue to restrain us through increasingly painful blows, or we will destroy ourselves and much of the planet along with us. Guide for Round Tables, Part 6. Attributes of the Round Table. Question. Usually the discussion during round tables takes place in a circle from right to left. Why? Answer. This is the order. The right side is the beginning. The left side is the end. Starting from the right side, we bring everything to the end, and then the left side becomes the right. The right is considered perfection. The left isn't perfect. Remark, how important in a circle are attributes such as a clock for time regulation and an object that gives you the right to speak. My comment, this is very important for people. There must be some external signs that remind us of the format in which we have gathered. For example, a pencil that is passed around in a circle, symbolizing that a person now has the right of speech and can speak. It is also important to introduce a time limit because there are people who can talk endlessly and there are those who are mostly silent. Therefore, it is desirable that there should be an hourglass, and everyone should be given, for example, a minute to express their opinion. From CAB TV's Management Skills, July 9, 2020. New Life 1280. The Return to the Educational Institutions in the Corona Era.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about going back to school and the impact of social distancing on children and teenagers. Yeah, this year, going back to school was done kind of unwillingly, and we know that the number of contagions is very high. We're number one in the world in number of contagions per million people, and still schools and kindergartens opened, and many, many parents send their children to school and kindergarten, hoping that everything's going to be fine. And we'd like to talk about how people feel about it, the general feeling that we have to keep going, that we can't stop, that business as usual, we have to go back to our normal life despite the concern and fear and uncertainties that we're facing. I hear all the time kindergarten teachers going into quarantine on the second day of kindergarten. Everyone feels that it's kind of, the entire situation is delusional, but no one knows how to act correctly. So first of all, I'd like to ask, how do you explain the decision of opening the schools, kindergartens, allowing our children, endangering our children in this way despite everything? Where does that come from? Why did we make this decision? I don't want to say Why did we decide that? Or where do we make our decisions from? Because it might sound obscene. The way you decide about these little, cute, sweet children that should be the most precious and main thing, I have no other word but disregard, lack of heart, and very serious confusion that this entire nation is under that simply stupefies it. To relate that way to children, that's simply complete irresponsibility. And what I'm experiencing is an inability to stop the habit, obviously. Do you know what this will come to? That women actually won't want to think about their children. What does it say? What does the prophet write about it? Owen. What does the prophet say about the corona days, or in other words, the days of the coming of the Messiah, about the troubles that will come to the Jewish people, that mothers, that merciful mothers cooked their children, merciful mothers cooking their children. This is what the prophet says. Can you believe that something like this could happen? And among the Jewish people? Hard to believe. And on the other hand, I think that what's going on is so delusional now that we feel that reality is kind of irrational. We see what's going on in terms of abuse, and it does not rid you of taking care of the children. That's irrational. It doesn't allow you to say, okay, I'm simply giving up. Let someone else take care of this. The irrational is an incorrect word. Incorrect word. Your attitude is irrational. What should I do? I don't know. Think. Think as though you hear that this is what happens in another country. If I, as a mother, could influence what goes on, I'd take very different decisions. But I'm a part of a larger mechanism. But this mechanism consists of merciful mothers. So what's going on? So what would you say? Were you, instead of going out to shout about the prime minister, to shout for your children, you'd make a real revolution. What are we supposed to demand for our children? You're asking me. Then I can't say. Then really, there's nothing to demand, nothing to shout about, and we've really reached a state where we have no merciful mothers. I want to explain the atmosphere. We have to go to school. There's kindergarten. Now, what you're actually telling me, you want to explain to me why you have no heart of a merciful mother. I understand. No need for an explanation. No heart. No need for an explanation. I want to explain the mentality. Doesn't matter. You have no heart to go out in favor of your children, to demand in favor of your children. We don't need all your explanations. Why can't you? It's not that I can't, but there's this mentality where people don't want to see life for what it is. What was, what will be, I don't know. I only see what's going on now. Take to the streets and start shouting. What do you have left to do? This is what I'm trying to describe, a kind of mentality that doesn't connect between what is going on and what is supposed to happen, and what will happen, when it will happen, will also, it won't seem to you that it's real and there is something that you can do, exactly like now. So we're waiting for a blow, and that it will force us to stay at home, that we can't do it out of our own desire. So there already is a blow. What's the problem? Why does everyone want to run from home? There already is a blow. So what's the problem? Probably that it's not enough yet. Ah, you need more blows. Yeah, I see that this is what's going on. So we're praying out of our heart that we'll have more blows. It's a pity, but this is the situation, that until there will be a decisive blow that will force us to make a change, we'll continue with the same paradigms and habits until nature will force us to stop. So what do you want to ask me? I want to ask, how can we come out of the situation? So you yourself are saying that you can't. That's that. If something will save us, some external force will save us, great. If not, then, you know, what can we do? So if still, as parents that are worried, not worried and don't feel nothing, what are you talking about? I disagree with that. This is what you say about parents. I don't see anywhere in any family, even if the women there are yelling to high heaven. And in Israel, it's not a wonder, women like yelling. And there's nothing to do. Besides that, they don't want nothing. Besides, everyone thinks that she can demand and others can come and do something for her, what she thinks is right. What's the solution? For you yourselves to do something. What can the country do? What would you want for it to do? I don't know. You're yelling in front of the house of the prime minister. What is he saying? We're investing billions against the coronavirus and in this and in that, but this is what the government can do. But the government can't educate, can't take care, can't really protect each and every baby from everything. This is not the role of a government. So what's the solution? Because seemingly the option is either to send them back to kindergarten or school or to be quarantined at home. I don't know. I'm out of options. I disagree with this and with that and with you. I disagree with all of these options. For me, the option is different. That isn't a part of these decisions. What option do you see? The option is that we are going to cure the root of the problem. And the root of the problem, the way I see it, is the lack of correct connection between us among the people of Israel. And therefore, we're getting this big blow, and it's only the beginning. We've only reached the first place of the coronavirus relatively among everyone, but it's only the beginning. See what will happen. What do you predict? I predict that all of us will be infected with the coronavirus, just like we hate each other, just like we're disputed, each and every one of us. This way, we will be chronically infected with corona, starting with children and our cats and dogs and everyone, including everyone, in front of all of mankind, for them to see that they'll really witness that it all comes through us, from us. We might be a nation struck with corona. Yeah? That's a kind of punishment from the heaven. From the heaven, there are no punishments. There are only corrections. And what does the corona come to correct? It comes to show us where the bad is. What's the source of all the problems and evil? That it comes from the nation of Israel. And the source of all evil, what is it? The connection between us, or the lack of connection between us. The central point. Hate between brothers, unfounded hatred, and against that you have love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other curse besides unfounded hatred, and there is no other blessing besides love your neighbor as yourself. It's the one or the other. So what change do you see that's supposed to happen among the children, educators, parents? What changes? Not among children, among educators and parents, Tal said. Rav, Dr. Lightman. Understanding the situation, this is what our healing depends on, Tal. And if we understand the situation, that we have to change our attitude toward each other, what kind of implications will this understanding have? That we will start taking different actions in order to come closer to each other, in order to be more friendly toward one another. We'll all care for our children, that these are our children, that all of the children are our children, that we're one nation, that we're as one man and one heart, and this way we will heal the entire nation from the coronavirus. We will be the only ones after this blow. If we do what we're supposed to do, then imagine we will be the only ones that only in our realm, that in the world only here, everything will be white, without any red, meaning no infections, only here. And then we'll be able to present it to everyone, and everyone will do the same. What is the point that will lead us to that? What kind of technology do we have to use in order to reach a state where Israel is white, not infected with corona at all? All in all, closeness between people. Until we reach this closeness, we are forced to be quarantined, to distance ourselves from one another. Yeah? So what are the implications of social distancing on teenagers, on children, because it's an age that's very important for them in terms of their interactions? So think about it. What do you have to do in order to provide good interactions for your children? You're the ones preventing it from them. So you're saying that parents that are leaving in the hands of the country and in the hands of schools and everything, they have to take responsibility for their children. Incorrect. I see how unclear it really is to you. Parents are incorrectly connected between them, toward each other. For everyone to be as one man and one heart, as brothers and sisters. If you're not there, then comes the corona and distances you, telling you sit at home, have the children.
How can an individual soul influence all the souls? Question. How can I, as an individual soul, influence all the souls? Answer. Since we are in a single closed system, you affect everyone else through your ascents and descents. Question. And how do I increase the power of my impact? Answer. You develop your vessel, its capacity, by caring about others, which enables your entrance to the general system, and then you attain more. The more you care about others, the more you attain the one common vessel and perfect eternal life. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, October 7, 2018. Ascending the spiritual levels. Question. Does a person have to feel death 125 levels before he fully enters eternal life? Answer, no, not 125, but 124 levels, The 125th level is already the eternal life. You need to separate from the previous level 124 times in order to ascend to the next level. But it is not felt as a loss. It is felt as a necessary release in order to free yourself for the future filling. This process also exists in science, and you need to constantly empty and refill yourself. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, October 7, 2018.